But listen to these words from Ephesians. This is, we're continuing in this series called Growth 101. And this morning, we're exploring again the Holy Spirit. What will the Holy Spirit do? What will the Holy Spirit do? So that's what we're going to be exploring today. And so let's listen to these words, or read along if you would like. We're going to go verses 15 through 18. Let's listen to these words and what the Spirit is saying to us and to the church. Be very careful, then, how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. So there was some time ago, there was just a church that I served, not here, but some time ago, some years ago, and the church youth group had struggled with they had a recent event happen that caused them to feel a little anxious about who they were and about their leadership. The youth leader had one of the youth leaders had done something that caused some turmoil for the youth and the church. And so every year it was their custom to go on a trip, a mission trip. And so they had been making plans, but things were so unsettled. The parents were really feeling anxious, iffy about even having their youth go on a mission trip anywhere. And this particular mission trip was going to be to the San Francisco Bay Area and the Bay Area Rescue Mission in Richmond, California. And about the week before, really, is what it was, the parents and the youth, one by one, just peeled back, said, no, we're not going to go. Or I'll go only if so-and-so goes. And it was really iffy. And the moment came where knowing that the youth would get a lot out of the trip, and that at some level they really wanted to go. At least many of them were saying they wanted to go, but they had some concern. And knowing that this is something that seemed like would be a good thing to do and that God would be in it. And so I decided to go. I said, I'm going. I'm going to go. And what if we make this a youth and adult? And anybody, just open it up to anybody. And so I went, and about three or four other adults went, and one by one the youth jumped back in. And so we had a full group going to the Bay Area Rescue Mission. Now, you would think that as pastor that, you know, I've been on, you know, maybe a dozen of these mission trips, right? Well, guess what? That was my first mission trip, all right? I'd done a lot of mission activities with many folks, different places in their lives, but I'd never traveled off someplace, you know, overnight kind of thing. I've served the homeless in the Golden Gate Park. I've served the homeless men and women at the Portland Rescue Mission many times and counseled with them and so on. But they'd never gone overnight on a trip. And so this was going to be a first for me. And it was scary, kind of scary. And it was new for me. But I knew that something was moving me to do this. And so we went. And while we were there, we met, among other things, we met a guy named Alex. And Alex had tattoos up and down his both arms and on his neck and who knows where else. All right? And the tattoos were hate tattoos. He's a white guy, and he had racist tattoos, very hateful tattoos on his arms. And these were not the, you know, the peel-off versions, okay? These were there. And so he had those, and he had a missing tooth or two in the front. Not the most brilliant guy in the world. Probably, maybe finished high school. And he had been through some rough times. He threatened other people with their lives. He'd dealt in drugs. And he was abusive toward people, including his family. And something happened in him. Something happened in his, inside of him, something happened. Every chance he would get, he would tell you that what's on his arm, the tattoos, is not what he stands for. And he regrets having ever done that. And he regrets that the hatred he had for black folks and really anyone other than what he looked like. And he was in a weekly Bible study, and he was learning about the love of God. And not only that, but he was serving in the community. He would go around and, you know, pick up trash, and he would do, and this was not something he was compelled to do. Wasn't part of a, you know, program that he had to do, but he was doing it. And so his inner life somehow had changed. His inner being had somehow had changed, and his life had changed. And he's on a journey. You know, he's not perfect or anything like that. But he would hang out with people who were not like him, hang out with the black guys. And there were a lot of black guys there at the rescue mission. And I was struck by how radically different his life is today. We met him there at the Bay Area Rescue Mission. And I don't know what he's doing right now, but I'll tell you one thing. It isn't what it used to be. His life is forever shifted. Wouldn't you and I like to experience some of that shifting in our inner being? Would you like something to happen within us that lifts the weight from our shoulders of the pain and grief we may have felt in the past or maybe that we feel right now? Wouldn't we like to have a weight lifted from our shoulders where our greatest concern isn't something that happened so many years ago, but that we are alive and ready, and that we've profoundly experienced the power of God within us and profoundly being used by God in our life? Would you like that? Huh? So in this morning, I want to ask two questions. And the first is, what would the Holy Spirit do if we allowed that to happen? And the second question is, how would it work? How would the Holy Spirit do that? What would we have to do that the Holy Spirit would do that in our life? All right? So let's take a look at the first question. The question is, what would the Holy Spirit do if the Holy Spirit were fully within us and fully active within us? Let's listen to these words from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. For this reason, and this is the reason being the gospel, the good news
of God in Christ. For this reason I kneel, this is Paul speaking, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. All right, now there's that, what we just talked about. Wouldn't you like to be filled with all the measure of the fullness of God? Huh? All the measure of the fullness of God. I mean, think about that. All the measure of the fullness of God means that when I encounter you, I'm encountering all the measure of the fullness of God. In the Old Testament, they wouldn't even look at your face. They'd have to cover face with the, you know, with the cloth. It would be too bright and it'd be overwhelming. And yet, this is what Paul is saying. This is what God is saying, that this is possible for you and I. So the question then is, what would the Holy Spirit do? Well, the Holy Spirit would cause us to be in Christ. The Holy Spirit would cause us to be in Christ. Paul says that the Father may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in you. So the Holy Spirit first would cause you to be dwelling in Christ, or cause Christ to be in you. And if you've never felt that, or you were wondering, for example, well, am I really part of God's family or not? Does God really love me or not? Am I really part of the heavenly citizenship on earth or not? Am I part of heaven or not? And if you ever ask those questions, this is for you. And the question is, what will the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit will cause you to dwell in Christ. In other words, will erase the question, and that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you know that Christ's love in you, and that he dwells within you. Okay? So what would happen if the Holy Spirit, what would the Holy Spirit do? Cause Christ to dwell in us. And the Holy Spirit not only would just dwell in us, but that we would be connected one with another. It says, you may have power together with all the Lord's holy people, the church. And not only that, but the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit would do within you and I is that we would not only know up here, but we would grasp at our gut level, at a gut level, in our soul, the love of God. There wouldn't be any question mark whether God loves us. It would be completely erased. You would know with a sure certainty that God's love is within you. Okay? Now, so I want to ask the second question. This is about your inner being. This is just within you. What is the Holy Spirit going to do within you at all? And this is what would happen. But how? How would the Holy Spirit do this? Let's take a look again. So it says, Paul says, for this reason I kneel before the Father. And so how will the Holy Spirit do this within you? It's through prayer. Through prayer. And you pray on your knees. That's a profound way to pray. You can pray lying face down. That's a profound way to pray. But the bottom line is, that you're lifting up your heart, your voice, your everything to God and saying, God, grant me. Notice that it isn't something we can work for. It's just God has to give it. So I couldn't say right now that, you know, you have to believe in Christ and tell you to believe in Christ because I can't do it. I mean, I could say the words, but I can't make it happen. So it's got to be the Holy Spirit that God grants you this gift. And so how will the Spirit do it is through prayer. And I want to offer three suggestions for prayer. The first goes like this. Heavenly Father, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. Holy Spirit, have mercy on me, a sinner. All right? You see that? So it's praying to the Father, to the Son, and the Holy Spirit, have mercy on me. It's a powerful, short prayer, and I invite you to give it a try. See what God does through it. Now, people say that prayer is powerful, but that's not quite right. What's powerful? Yeah. God is powerful. And so the prayer is simply is the communication, the connection. We were talking in our class last week, Growth 101, that there are these three forms of, we were talking about how we have the voltage, we have the path, and we have the amperage. These are for those of you who are electricians. The voltage, the path, and the amperage. Or to put it another way, maybe a little more connected for us is the faucet, the hose, and the water. All right? The faucet, God the Father. The hose is the branch. Jesus says, I am the branch and you are the vine. And so if we're going to connect with this power, we need to take our hose and attach it, or let it be attached, rather, to the master hose. All right? And when we hang out around the master hose, and the master hose, by the way, is connected to the creator faucet. All right? So the master hose is connected to the faucet, completely airtight onto the faucet. And when we hang out with our, when we have our hose, and God connects us to the master hose, we got a flow going, right? And sometimes, I know if you have a hose at home, it doesn't fully fasten on. Some water goes out the sides. Or there's mud in there, and it doesn't get through as it should or could. And this is the power of God, not of prayer, but of God through prayer. All right. So the first example, first suggestion is this prayer. Lord, have mercy on me. Or Heavenly Father, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Holy Spirit, have mercy on me. The second suggestion is use this passage right here and pray, Heavenly Father, strengthen me and strengthen us with your power through your Spirit in our inner being so that Christ may dwell in us. In our hearts through faith. And I pray, oh God, to be rooted and established in love. Grant your power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is your love for me. Now, notice that the next thing he says is to know this love that surpasses knowledge. So it's not just knowledge, it's something that we have at the gut level. It's something that we're going to experience through prayer. Okay? So that's the inner being. And the second piece of that is not just through prayer, but through relationships. Ours with God. And ours with each other. We need people to encourage us, to challenge us, to be in prayer. To have our hose connected with the master hose. To keep our hose clean. That the Holy Spirit flows at full force. The full measure of the power of God at work in us. So that's the inner being. What about our outer life? I want to take a look at a passage that many of us have heard before. Actually, I'm going to look at two. One is in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And so what will the Holy Spirit do concerning our outer life? Jesus says, this is now just before he is leaving the disciples after he's been raised from the dead. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father. Which he promises, which you have heard me speak about, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they asked him, Lord, when are these things going to happen? When are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so, what will the Holy Spirit do in our outer life? Will cause us to be witnesses in our family. The Holy Spirit will cause us to be witnesses in Crestwell. The Holy Spirit will cause us to be witnesses in the Eugene area. The Holy Spirit will cause us to be witnesses wherever God sends us. Will cause us to be witnesses in Germany. Around the world, wherever that God may send us. Now, how does the Holy Spirit do this? How does this work? And I want to take a look at a passage we're familiar with in Matthew 28. This is the Great Commission. And Jesus says, all authority has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the peoples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And remember to teach them everything I have taught you. And lo, I will be with you until the end of the age. All right, we've heard that one before. All right, so notice he says, so how did the Holy Spirit work that we would be witnesses in our families, Crestwell and all of? Notice that Jesus says, go. He says, go make disciples. And then he says, lo, I'm with you to the end of the age. And it's a beautiful thing when we can say, lo, God is with us. These two letters that tell us that he's with us, his power is within us, and we are full of the full measure of God. And there's nothing left out. But the problem is that this is, first of all, it's a command, not an option. So God is saying, be witnesses, not saying, if you have a moment, you can spare a little energy, if you're not burned out, if you're having a good day, then why don't you smile at the, at the lady at the checkout counter? All right, that's not what he's saying. He's saying, do it. All right, go. Now the second thing is that notice that he says, "Lo, I'm with you." But here's the problem. Here's the challenge. There is, as one preacher said it, there's no lo unless we go. All right? There's no lo. There's no power of us, of the Holy Spirit within us, if we don't go. There's no lo within us if we don't go. All right? Now, sure, God is with us. We could hang out in the, in old age, in retirement home, and God is there. But if we're not continually moved at heart, whether it's with the nurse who's taking care of us, or if we're more able and younger, is to move, to go, then we're not going to experience the full measure of the Holy Spirit. In other words, this is how the Holy Spirit works, is that we have to do something in faith that otherwise is scary. Do something in faith that otherwise scares us, scares the living daylights out of us. It scared me when I went on the mission trip. And I'm glad I went. But you know what? I've only been on one mission trip. And yeah, I've served in people in town and in many ways, you know, nearby. And that is, believe me, that's going. The way things are today is that we go simply when we invite a neighbor out to coffee on their terms and listen. What would it be like to have the full measure of the Holy Spirit in your very being? What would it be like for the Holy Spirit to move us in ways that otherwise are scary? What scary thing might God do through us?